Hi, I'm Lisa. My goal with this channel is to make advanced students of English more well-rounded. I want you to be able to speak English with confidence. Almost all advanced students have one area of weakness. Sometimes their pronunciation is difficult to understand. They have a strong accent. Or sometimes they're still making grammar mistakes, and a lot of times they don't have the vocabulary to express themselves precisely, especially when they're talking about something outside of their area of specialty. For example, an engineer can sound very fluent when he's talking about engineering, but how about if he's talking about politics or psychology or the economy? A lot of my students say they struggle with those types of conversations, and that's why I make these videos. I film my conversations with native speakers from a wide variety of professions. I want you to not only understand what they're saying, but I want you to be able to use those words and those expressions like they do. You will listen to my conversation with Joanne Weidman. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's a psychologist, and she's been doing it for over 20 years. Let's watch my conversation with Joanne, and then I will come back and I will teach you the vocabulary, and we will talk about pronunciation. On your website, you mentioned something that was really interesting to me. You said, your approach to healing is to integrate pain and struggle into a journey of meaning. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
I think a lot of people, when they're coming to therapy, believe that the therapist's job is to make the pain go away. I don't think that's possible. I think that absolutely if someone is coming and they are depressed and they are anxious, we want to try to minimize that. We want to contain that. We want to give them resources to manage that differently. But ultimately, the pain that someone is feeling in their life is part of being human. I absolutely believe that to suffer is part of being human. And in fact, a lot of people have said that to avoid suffering is often where we get neurotic. And if we don't embrace it and try to figure out what it means for us and who we are, we're likely to miss an opportunity. So a lot of people want to jump over the pain. I want us to go through the pain and try to figure out what it means to tell a story that incorporates that pain.
So I don't quite understand, what do you do with the pain? If you're in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. you want that pain to lessen, you want it to subside. Mm-hmm. So if I embrace it, in my mind, that's sort of mm-hmm. accepting it and living with it, is that what you mean?
I think acceptance is certainly part of it. I think acceptance is probably down the road from the first thing you need to do is recognize that you have pain. A lot of people who come to therapy, especially if it's their first time in therapy, have never told anyone how bad their pain is or how much they are suffering. They've never said it to anyone. So the first step is they have to own it enough to come to therapy. Then they have to tell the story to me, the therapist, and a huge part of my job is to just listen to that story. And then a lot of what is incorporating the pain is we sit with it together. A lot of times we sit in silence. A lot of times someone will weep. So we make the story real and we acknowledge that there's a lot of pain here. And it's there for a reason. You're in pain because things have happened that have hurt you. And that's such a critical part of it.
Are there times when people don't know that story, their own story? For example, they have pain, but they don't really know what caused it, maybe either because they don't remember it or because they're not self-aware enough.
Yes, that happens a lot. And oftentimes, particularly if people present to therapy with a history of addictions, if people come into therapy with chronic pain, these are the kinds of things that can be expressing emotional pain, even if a person doesn't recognize that that is emotional pain that may be contributing to their physical pain or to their addictions. So someone will come in and say, I need to stop drinking. And pretty soon we realize very quickly, oh, you were abused as a child. Let's start telling that story. It's a lot more complicated. And that doesn't mean that a person might not also need a 12-step program, for example, to help them stop engaging in destructive, self-destructive behavior. But that's not my job. My job is to help them understand why they have been drinking to survive for a really long time.
You said minimizing, ignoring, or eliminating the pain before understanding it can actually make the struggle worse. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, I absolutely believe that we are given pain as humans for a reason, and it's to give us information about our lives, about something that we need to change, about something that we are being called to do that we need to start pursuing. You know, I'm frustrated. I want to be an actor, but I don't live in a city where there's a lot of acting. So that frustration drives you to move to a city where you have more opportunity. Or I'm in pain because I'm in a relationship where someone is treating me badly, but I somehow believe I deserve that. So oftentimes coming into therapy is you don't want to just make the pain go away. You want to say, what is it trying to tell you about your life and intentionality and change that you need to make in your life to be living the life that you are called to be a more whole person, to be a more complete person.
It sounds like some people need to discover what it is they're called to.
Yes.
That's an interesting journey, and it must be really rewarding.
It can be very rewarding.
Actually see a person thrive, right?
It can be very rewarding to see a person thrive. That is absolutely right.
Yeah. And how can people get in touch with you?
People can find me at my website, joannewidemantherapy.com, and the best way to reach me is through email. Or you can certainly call me at the number on the website, and I look forward to hearing from anyone. If I'm not the right therapist for you, I can help you find the right therapist. So please feel free to contact me, even if you're just looking.
Let's listen to the pronunciation of the verb to integrate and the noun journey. You said, your approach to healing is to integrate pain and struggle into a journey of meaning. Most of the time, native speakers do not pronounce the T of the word integrate. They say integrate, and that means to combine one thing with another thing to make a whole. Let's look at the pronunciation of the word journey. It is to integrate pain and struggle into a journey of meaning. Don't say jor, it's jur, journey, journey. You probably know one meaning of the word journey, which means travel or trip, but it also has another meaning. Journey has become a metaphor for the experience of living life with all of its ups and downs. When you're talking about someone's life, you can say, he's had an interesting journey, or she's had a difficult journey. So Joanne's approach to healing in therapy is to integrate pain and struggle into a journey of meaning. Let's look at the pronunciation of this word. This word is also commonly mispronounced by a lot of my students.
If someone is coming and they are depressed and they are anxious, we want to try to minimize that. We want to contain that.
Let's say the word together. Anxious. Anxious. That's an adjective. And the noun form is pronounced how? Do you know how to pronounce it? Anxiety. Anxiety. So you can say, he's very anxious. Or, he has a lot of anxiety. You probably know the meaning of the verb to contain. It has another meaning that you might not be aware of. Let's listen to Joanne.
If someone is coming and they are depressed and they are anxious, we want to try to minimize that. We want to contain that.
Joanne said, we want to try to minimize that. We want to try to contain that. What does contain mean in this case? It means to keep something from spreading, to keep it within its limits. To prevent something harmful from spreading. You can say, the firemen are trying to contain the fire. Or you can say, the government is implementing various measures to contain the pandemic. Let's listen to how Joanne pronounced ultimately.
But ultimately, the pain that someone is feeling in their life is part of being human.
Make sure that you reduce the A. Don't say ultimately. Also, hold the T. Like this, ultimately, ultimately. You probably know the meaning of this word. It means finally, after everything has been done or said. Joanne said, ultimately, the pain that someone is feeling in their life is part of being human. You can say, ultimately, you have to make your own decision. Do you know how to pronounce the next word? Let's listen to Joanne.
And in fact, a lot of people have said that to avoid suffering is often where we get neurotic.
Be careful about the pronunciation of the E-U in this word. We don't say neuro, we don't say neurotic, we say neurotic, neurotic. We also say neurosis, neuron, neurologist. Don't say neurologist, it's neurologist, neurosurgeon. Look at the next word, embrace. You probably know that to embrace means to hold someone, to hug someone. But the way Joanne used it has another meaning. Let's listen.
And if we don't embrace it and try to figure out what it means for us and who we are, we're likely to miss an opportunity.
Joanne said, if we don't embrace it and try to figure out what it means for us. So in this context, to embrace means to accept something, to accept a belief or to accept a theory or to accept change. You can say, he doesn't like change. He wants everything to stay the same. He's very reluctant to embrace change. Let's hope that all of the employees will enthusiastically embrace the new technology. So you can embrace a theory, you can embrace a belief, or you can embrace something about yourself. You accept it, you embrace it. Let's listen to the way I use the next two verbs, to lessen and to subside. You're in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. You want that pain to lessen, you want it to subside. Let's look at the word lessen. To lessen is pronounced exactly the same as the noun lesson, an English lesson. So that E and that O are pronounced the same because they're both reduced vowels. To lessen is to make or to become less, to become smaller, to diminish. You can say, this medication will lessen your pain. Wearing a seatbelt greatly lessens the risk of injury. Let's listen to the way I use the verb to subside. You're in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. You want that pain to lessen. You want it to subside. I said, if you're in a lot of pain, you want that pain to lessen. You want the pain to subside. To subside means to become less intense, less severe, to become weaker, to go back to normal levels. You can say, we can't go out until the storm subsides. What did Joanne mean when she used the expression down the road? Do you know that expression? Let's listen.
I think acceptance is probably down the road from the first thing you need to do is recognize that you have pain.
Joanne said, acceptance is probably down the road. Down the road means in the future. You can say, we have no idea what's going to happen down the road. You can say to someone, if you don't study hard now, you will regret it down the road. You will regret it in the future. So many English words have more than one meaning. You know the meaning of to own. For example, I own a car. I own a house. It means I have it. It belongs to me. I possess it. But let's listen to the way Joanne used to own. It's got a different meaning.
So the first step is they have to own it enough to come to therapy.
Joanne said, the first step is they have to own it enough to come to therapy. To own it means to admit it, to take responsibility for something, to admit there's a problem. It's also used when someone admits that they did something wrong, that they did something bad. They own it. They own their mistake. You can say, he got angry, but at least he owned it. He admitted it. Or maybe he apologized for it. He owned it. So Joanne was saying, if you've got pain, or if you've got some kind of problem, you have to own it enough to come to therapy. A lot of people don't own it. That's the first step, and sometimes the most difficult step. You know the meaning of the verb to sit, but what does it mean when we say to sit with it? Let's listen to Joanne.
We sit with it together.
Joanne said, we sit with it together. To sit with something means to not take any actions or to not make any decisions yet. I haven't decided what I will do. I will sit with it for a while. Let's listen to how some other people used to sit with it.
That means that we have a responsibility to read it, to sit with it, to talk with others about it.
Do you sit with it or do you try to do something different?
It means you accept it, make room for it, sit with it, and let it pass on its own time.
We have the verb to cry and we have the verb to weep. Do they have the same meaning or are they a little bit different? Let's listen to how Joanne used to weep.
A lot of times we sit in silence. A lot of times someone will weep.
What is the difference between to cry and to weep? To cry is to shed tears. And to weep is always related to some kind of sadness or some kind of pain and suffering. Weep is used for great sorrow or great loss. To weep focuses more on the feeling. For example, we usually say, children cry, but they don't usually weep. You can say, when the child fell and hurt his leg, he cried. But she wept when she heard the sad news. And it's an irregular verb, weep, wept, wept. Here's another word with two meanings, critical. Let's listen to how Joanne used it.
You're in pain because things have happened that have hurt you. And that's such a critical part of it.
If you criticize someone, you are critical. You can say, don't be so critical of me. Stop criticizing me. But Joanne said, it's such a critical part of it. The other meaning of critical is when something is very important because what happens in the future depends on it. For example, you can say, it's critical that you see a doctor. This is a critical time in our country. This is a critical moment in history. To call also has a lot of different meanings. Let's listen to the way Joanne used called to do something.
About something that we need to change, about something that we are being called to do that we need to start pursuing.
Joanne said, something that we are being called to do. If you feel very strongly that you're supposed to do something specific with your life, and maybe you have talent in that thing, you really want to do it, you might be called to do that specific thing. You can say, she feels called to nursing. Nursing is her calling. You can also use it as a noun. That's somebody's calling. Let's listen to the way Joanne used whole. She said, to be a whole person.
And intentionality and change that you need to make in your life to be living the life that you are called to be a more whole person, to be a more complete person.
To be a whole person means to be healthy in every way, to be healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, to be whole, to be complete, to be uninjured, or to be undamaged. Do you know the meaning of this adjective? Rewarding. Let's listen.
It can be very rewarding.
Actually see a person thrive, right?
It can be very rewarding to see a person thrive. That is absolutely right.
If something is rewarding, it's very satisfying. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel happy. And often this word is associated with someone's job. You can say, I'd like to find a more rewarding job. Or I entered that field because it's so rewarding. And this word is a really good word. I want to make sure that you know it and that you can use it to thrive.
It can be very rewarding.
Actually see a person thrive, right?
It can be very rewarding to see a person thrive. That is absolutely right.
It can be very rewarding to see a person thrive. To thrive is to grow or to develop, to be successful or to be happy. A person can thrive or a business can also thrive. You can say, the child is thriving in his new school. Children need love and stability in order to thrive. New businesses are thriving in this area. Those types of flowers thrive in direct sunlight. Let's listen to the way other people used it.
Understand why some children can thrive in traditional education settings and others don't.
And make sure that everybody has what they need to thrive.
May you thrive. May you love what you choose to do. May your journey be interesting and rewarding.
The next part of my conversation with Joanne is coming soon. So there will be a part two and maybe even part three because we spoke for a while and Joanne used so much good vocabulary, so much advanced vocabulary that I want to teach you. And I think it will help you to be more well-rounded in the way you speak English. Thanks for watching and keep practicing your English. To get the two courses, the American Accent course and the 400 advanced words you must know for fluent English, go to accurateenglish.com.